It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
How do you feel this morning regarding Caleb Williams' growth? Are you encouraged that he entered Sunday with just three passes of 20-plus yards, connected with DJ Moore on TDs of 42 and 34 yards, and completed a 25-yarder to Cole Kmet? Was it a breakthrough? Will he add more downfield throws to this total in London?
Yeah, I hope so. I sure do hope so. You got to be careful how you think about breakthroughs. I think it's just growth. I think that he did some things in that game that he struggled to do earlier in the season. I think if you look at him on a game-to-game basis, he kind of does little things better all the time. He seems to be, you know, and we talked about this. After week four, we were talking about the idea that he's better now than he was when he started the season, and he'll probably be better in another four games. I don't know that progress for quarterbacks is as incremental as it has been for him, where you look at his passer rating and it's almost like he's climbing a ladder. It's usually more like you're going from a floor to a floor, not necessarily doing a progress all the way up. It's almost like you're on one level, and then you work and you work and you get better, and then you're on a different level, and that's kind of the way it usually works in the NFL. But in his case, I think we've seen steady growth, and I think they've stumbled upon a formula for success, and I use the word stumbled upon. I mean, they've tried different ways of getting it done, and it wasn't working, and now it seems to be working. Part of that is the opponent. I understand that. You know, it's more difficult against the best defenses than it is against kind of modest defenses. They're in the midst of five bad pass defenses, so that should increase and help what they want to get done. But I like what they're doing with the balance in the offense. I like that they've been adding a different element every week. And, yeah, I really hope it continues in London.
In the words of Al Davis, just win, baby. Okay, they keep winning, and it doesn't matter what his stats are as long as he's continuing to protect the football. That's the most important thing. Mully, each week he's gotten better. Now, again, the bar was set pretty low. It wasn't a great start, but each week he's gotten better. I'm always a big, you know, every time you take a rep, you get a little bit better, you're going to have success no matter what you do in life. One thing I think, and I'm sure it'll be a storyline, and if not, okay, let's create the storyline. You've got the first pick in the 2021 NFL draft, right? And Caleb Williams, if anything, we know about him for sure. Super competitive, really competitive guy. I think he competes in everything that he does. And I think he is going to be zeroed in on the fact that like this number one pick is better than that number one pick. And hopefully that does not get in the way where he doesn't get a little too over his skis and a little too risky with the ball. But I think that's what's going to motivate him this week. And I'm looking forward to that storyline playing out.
Who would you rather have?
I would rather have Caleb Williams. Yeah. I think he loves the game more than Trevor Lawrence does. We've heard that a little bit, that Trevor really is kind of like, eh.
Interesting topic, and I think you're right about the comparison. People will do that inevitably. And I think Caleb Williams may look at that as, you know, just this week's opportunity to find an edge or something to be a motivating factor. This whole season, I think, is probably under the umbrella of a breakthrough or breakout. I don't know that's any one singular week. You hope that one is connected to the other. And I think the last 2 weeks, what's been encouraging is that they seem to be connected. You seem to be headed in the right direction. And the kinds of things that you saw him do against the Rams, he did against the Panthers on Sunday. It was 1 week to the next, and next week now he gets a little bit better, or at least continues the progress. You don't want to see him take a half step or a step backward. And obviously the Bears coaching staff can help him do that. They already have. The last 2 weeks have been more professional game plans, more NFL game plans that you think fit the Bears' identity. They have been maybe a little bit run heavy for some people's taste, but when you see what happened against the Rams and the Panthers, Shane Waldron called more runs and passes. Or maybe that's the way things turned out because of the check system. But that's what you do with when you have a rookie quarterback. Look at the Washington Commanders. Similar, different style offensively, but similar in terms of ratio. Don't ask your rookie quarterback to save you each and every week. Don't ask him to throw 52 passes against a team that you should beat. Whoever had the meeting after the Colts game, whatever was said and whatever was done, that, I think, helped turn this Bears offense around, at least initially. Now, they still have to back it up in London. But, yes, Caleb Williams has shown progress. We should be encouraged because this is the direction he should be headed. The downfield passing game was a missing element. They found that against the Panthers. They need to continue to attack that in London against the Jaguars.
I know it had to be a question I'm going to have to ask my mom.
The Bears announced that Jaquan Brisker will not travel with the team to London initially because he entered concussion protocol on Monday when he got to Hallis Hall, a day after a massive collision in Sunday's game. How bad is this news?
Don't want to be an alarmist because it's the NFL. Tommy Tremble and Jaquan Brisker had an NFL big-time collision on Sunday. It was a car crash, and Tommy Tremble lowered his helmet, and Jaquan Brisker felt the brunt of that. 6'4", 250 pounds. And that was collided with Jaquan Brisker, who is a tough guy, but he's not 6'4", 250. He is a player with, unfortunately, a concussion history. When he wakes up on Monday morning and he shows symptoms of a concussion, that's not good for Jaquan Brisker and not good for the Bears. Unfortunately, in 2022, he missed games against the Jets and the Packers with a concussion and concussion protocol. Last year, he missed the Chargers and the Saints games because he was in concussion protocol. And this year, again, he is in concussion protocol. That's a history that should be concerning to everyone. So you can't take this lightly. You can't just assume he's going to get on a jet and fly to London and be ready to go on Sunday. Flying for somebody in concussion protocol, coming back from a concussion, isn't the greatest thing in the world. So this is not good news. There's no way to spin it. It's unfortunate. It's a reality of the NFL. But you hope that Jaquan Brisker recovers from this and does what's right for him and his future. But this was disappointing to hear last night.
Disappointing to hear. I was surprised by it because he played the rest of the game. I'm not saying he played every single snap. I didn't go through the tape. Maybe we need to go through the tape, see if he did come off for any significant time and come back in. Easy to see his snap count. And then if you follow the Bears on social media, you know, the club dub is back and we can all roll our eyes about that. But he is in those videos having a good time. He's celebrating and he should. That was a big win. He was a big part of the defense doing their job. So I'm sure he woke up with a headache on Monday, right? A lot of people woke up with a headache on Monday for whatever reason. And because of his history, what? Molly's laughing at me.
For whatever reason. Oh, yeah, you're equating it with booze up? Is that what
you just
snuck in?
I'm just saying lots of people enjoyed themselves on Sunday, okay? I saw it firsthand. Anyway, you know, I think because of his background, though, is part of the reason that he might be in the protocol because he's had these. And again, the part of the verbiage is initially. So let's wait.
Right.
He didn't travel with the team initially. If he's not there, that's a big loss.
Yeah, the three of them didn't travel, right? Terrell Smith, the corner, who's got an injury. Zach Pickens, who's been out. And this is obviously a different and kind of more serious thing that's popped up here, the concussion. You've got to be careful to say that it doesn't mean he's not going to play it. It doesn't mean he's going to not eventually get to London, but he was not allowed with the team to depart on Monday, and that's a big deal. That's a big deal in the NFL. So, you know, you just kind of wait and see what happens, and kind of hold your breath a little bit, and see if he recovers in time to be able to play, and if they determine that that's the best thing to do, or if they are looking at it as a, you know, chance to get him a couple weeks off if he doesn't go, right? So maybe they look at it that way. I don't know. I think that, you know, we'll wait and see. But it was scary when it happened. It was a big hit, and it caused a fumble. And it was a, you know, good thing for the Bears at the time, but it doesn't look very good this morning.
That's a good question.
That's the voice of Coach Dave Wannstedt. He will be here at 7:40 in studio for two big segments. Are you encouraged to learn that Tevin Jenkins, who departed Sunday's game with an ankle injury while recovering from a rib injury that barely allowed him to play, will at least travel to London with his teammates? He's there. He crossed the pond. Are you holding your breath regarding his ability to play? Are you good with the reserve Bill Murray, who played well in Jenkins' place?
I thought Bill Murray, you know, went on review of the tape was great. And I thought that there was a play where he just went nuts, where he knocked a guy down, then he ran over and knocked another guy down. They went over and tried to get a third guy down. It was pretty impressive. He really wanted to play. You could see the guy was anxious to play, and he really made an impact. So, and they loved him at PFF. I saw they graded him pretty highly. So that's good. You know, I hope Tevin Jenkins is okay. It's just tough. I mean, you get a rib injury. He went through a difficult process to make sure that he could get back on the field and play. And then he goes down with a new injury, right, with an ankle injury. And now I'm sure he's getting all sorts of treatment and doing whatever he can. It's just he's hurt all the time, man. I mean, he's just I love that he is as dedicated as he is, and I love that he made the trip, and here's hoping that he can play, but I think we're okay. I think the Bears would be sufficiently okay with Bill Murray.
I'm not so sure
different
about
coming in. Then,
but why? If Bill Murray, okay,
he had a good game.
Yeah, he graded. You know, again, if you're into those grades, he graded out really well. I was shocked to see that. You know, again, you'd have to go back and really look into it. But yeah, I mean, if he's your best option, if Jenkins is on the plane, I think Jenkins is going to get himself, you know, up and running. He'll start. He will start the game. Now the question is, can he get through the game?
Yeah, I don't think Tevin Jenkins made the trip for the fish and chips. So he's got to be a number one option because there's a drop-off, even though Bill Murray may have played well against a bad defensive line. The Jaguars aren't the Panthers. They're probably not much better, but they are a little better. I hope Tevin Jenkins does not become a chronic week-to-week problem like he has begun this season. He needs to be on the field if he wants to have any kind of hope to staying in Chicago. He's got to stay on the field. Before last week, it was his ribs, which probably still hurt, by the way.
Yeah.
And this week, it's his ankle. What will it be next week? You don't know, but you sense that it will be something because it's always something with Tevin Jenkins. When he's on the field, he is an above average offensive lineman. But he's got to stay on the field before you can think of him that way and expect that kind of consistency. So Bill Murray is the best of their available options, which says more about, to me, Nate Davis than it does Bill Murray. They have given up on Nate Davis. If he's healthy and he's unable to be counted on, I don't know what is next. Maybe they should try to find a trade partner that would take him off their hands, because why is he still here if he's not able to contribute? It seems inconceivable that Bill Murray, at this stage of his career, is a better option than Nate Davis on the field, but there's a lot more that goes into these decisions. But back to Tevin Jenkins, let's hope that he had made the trip for a reason. I sense that he did.
You know, to answer your question,
that's the voice of Billy Donovan. The Bulls have their preseason opener in Cleveland tonight, and according to our guy Casey Johnson, Coach Billy D hasn't ruled out Lonzo Ball or Josh Giddey, but won't commit to playing them either. Both guys are continuing to take contact and practice and scrimmage, with Ball, quote, still facing a ramp-up period, and Giddey closer to returning. What do you think you're going to see out of those two tonight?
Well, I wonder if we're going to see either tonight. If we do, it'll be a minutes limit on Lonzo Ball. I wouldn't mess around with Giddey necessarily. Lonzo Ball has certainly had a longer ramp-up period, if you will, to get to this point. We waited 2.5 years. It'll be 3 years in January that he has been since he's been on the court in a Bulls uniform. Josh Giddey, that was a surprise injury. Let's hope they take their time. They've got 2 weeks until the opener. That was the date circled on most Bulls fans' calendar for Josh Giddey. Let's take our time and get there. Lonzo Ball, curiosity more than anything, and respect for what he has endured to get to this point. He steps onto the floor, and the minute he does, he's a medical marvel. People are taking notes, and somewhere people are planning in-depth papers on the process, because Lonzo Ball playing NBA basketball, even in a preseason game, would be something. And so if he plays 10 to 12 minutes, it's to get him back acclimated and used to it. I hope he plays 10 to 12 minutes.
Yeah, I'd be down for that. I'd like to hear what Chuck Swirsky's got to say tonight on The Score. 5:45, the coverage begins about Lonzo. I would not play Giddey tonight. Doesn't seem like there's any upside in doing that. But Lonzo's got to prove that he can make contact, play against another team, and be effective.
But Chuck will be Giddey.
Oh, Chuck will be Giddey.
By all accounts, it is Giddey that is closer to being able to play than Lonzo Ball. They still have some stuff with Lonzo that they are concerned with. And, yeah, I think Giddey might get a run. Not a long one, but he might be out there. They're both apparently practicing and scrimmaging. And it's Giddey that is closer to playing. So maybe that's the case. We'll see. I'm sorry. I know I should be more enthusiastic with Lonzo, but I'm more skeptical with Lonzo than Giddey. Just for the reasons you mentioned, we haven't seen him in so long. And when we did, it was just for a short period of time. I don't know. It feels like he needs more time, and he's not going to be nearly as ready. I mean, Giddey was playing in the Olympics, and that's how he got hurt. So I hope he's okay. But I think Giddey closer to being back than Lonzo at this point.
Wow, that's a good question.
Voice of John Heyman, he's here at 9:25. What did you make of Cary Carpenter hitting a 425-foot three-run home run in the ninth inning to lead the Tigers to a 3-0 victory over the Guardians? How about that being the first lefty home run allowed by the All-Star, Emmanuel Clase, who has allowed just 3 earned runs for the Guardians during the entire regular season? How did that happen, since it was the first lefty home run allowed by Class A since the 4th of July back in 2023, a gap of 461 days?
That is unbelievable. And, I mean, the guy got all of it. He beat the heck out of that ball. It was an incredible moment in that game. I don't know how it happened, and I was sitting there watching it. It was unbelievable. I did not expect Detroit to really be making much noise in the playoffs. And, they lost the first game, and now here you are, you're in a 7-game series. It's moving to Detroit, and Detroit suddenly has stolen home field, right? I mean, it's like a home, whatever. Incredible. It's an incredible thing to see him win a game there. I don't know if it holds up. I don't know if they can win in Detroit, but it's pretty spectacular that they managed to do that. I did think of Devin Williams. It did go through my head. The exact same thing kind of happened, that, you know, you've got the advantage here. Now, they had a couple guys on base, and it's first and third, and you're looking at it like, wow, this, you know, what was it, a 2-2 slider? Is that what he threw? It was just such a huge moment, and kudos to him. What a great, great signature moment in the postseason.
Well, watching the replay over and over and over again, I also did catch it live. It looked like the ball was right down the middle of the plate. Mm-hmm. I mean, so he didn't fool anybody, that's for sure. And I think that StatCast was like, it was 110 miles an hour off the bat of Carpenter. So, you know, fastball comes, hits the bat fast, and bat ball went far. You know, good for the Tigers.
Hardest hit ball in his career.
It's a good story, right? The Tigers are a great story, so keep doing it.
It's a great story, but nobody could tell you the names of that story. We should give away some sort of prize if we have a caller that could tell us 5 Detroit Tigers. Because as much as you watch them, they are relatively anonymous, definitely cheap, but doesn't matter because they're even up with the Yankees 1-1. In the ALDS, and that was a great moment, a great postseason moment. This is not the playoffs for closers. This is not a good playoff for the closer crowd, because Devin Williams last week, Emmanuel Clase this week. Who's next? So the Tigers don't care about your payroll. They don't care about the Yankee mystique. They don't care they don't care about anything else. The Guardians being how many games in front of them. They, you can't count them out of anything. Can they play in the World Series? Could they be could they win the pennant? I don't know that anybody's going to beat the Tigers now. They feel like they're going to. You get that sense when they do stuff like this. So, yeah, Cary Carpenter, whoever he is, he's one of many Detroit young Detroit Tigers who are just having a time of their lives and being managed well by A.J. Hinch. And this is emerging as the best story of the postseason.
That was a thick pick.
Thick pick. All right. If you so had good. To take the Yankees or the other three AL Central teams to win the pennant, who would you bet $100 of Mully's money on, and why?
Well, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of Mully's money he's putting out there.
Mully doesn't have that kind
of dough. All right. So I would still take the Yankees. I still think the Yankees, even though the Tigers are the story of the day, the Royals, Bobby Witt Jr., goodness sakes, you see that double play?
Yep.
What a glove. What a bat. What a player. Guardians still, you can't count them out because they are always a team you can't count out. But I think the Yankees will eventually prevail. This is the AL Central and the Yankees. That's all that's left. And I still think the Yankees are going to come out of this. So I would bet whatever Mully wants to put up there, but I don't think it would be $100. How about coffee?
I would love a cup. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to go get that in just a couple of minutes, guys. Try to keep it going without the caffeine until then. If I got $100 of Mully's money, I would go to Circus Sports Illinois. And I, after the way we've been talking about the last question, I would invest it in the Tigers. I think that is a possibility. I think they're going to beat the Guardians now. That had to be absolutely deflating. I think they won the series by getting to that closer. That's definitely like a mind game going on right now.
I love these conversations because sometimes, so you believe in momentum.
I wish they were playing again today. I'm sure the Tigers do too.
I worry the Yankees don't have the pitching to get this done. That is the bottom line. I don't know who among the AL Central is the best team. Probably the Guardians. And I don't know that they're going to be there, but I would honestly say that I don't think the Yankees have the kind of pitching that is just a lock for them to be able to kind of plow through everything. And, you know, it was weird to see Rodon as mediocre as he was and to give up, what did they score all the runs in one inning, I believe. Right. And I don't know. I mean, good for Kansas City. I don't know that they can win that series, but they're in it. I think it's fairly obvious that they're in it. So I know why everyone loves the Yankees. It has nothing to do with their pitching. It has to do with the big boppers.
It's the big boppers.
And that's great.
Back to back.
Yeah.
You know.
That's it.
Then maybe they get Rizzo back in the next round because he's missed. But they, you're right to question the pitching.
So I'm just saying, I'm not saying it's a lock that this doesn't work. But yeah, I mean it's interesting that they don't have the pitching that you would definitely have. And as far as me getting $100 of Mully's money, that is I would have to fill out forms and submit them to my CEO, CFO. And hope that...
Sounds like a lot of red tape.
There is.
A lot of
there
red is. Tape.
Yeah.
All right, we'll just settle for coffee then.
Okay.
Forget about the $100.
I'll happily buy you a cup of coffee.
All right.
Tuesday.
That's good.
On Tuesday. Which I will repay you.
Today's Tuesday.
Yeah. No, not this Tuesday. all right. That is the... that's the pick six. We've got the extra point, and it's really a good one. We're going to make some picks. We're going to pick it up, and we're going to tear it down, and we're going to tell you exactly what's going to happen. We've seen a lot of rehearsal, and we feel like we know what all the storylines are. And we'll share that with you next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.